The reason why we are all here tonight is to introduce our speaker tonight, all the way from Santa Maria, California.
I shared with a few of the people, and thank you, Cindy. I passed the dress test tonight. Well, any other time I'm asked to share, you go to different areas, and a lot of the people you don't know, but I look out here tonight, and I know a lot of you. So the, here we go. But I'm going to start from the beginning, but there's always a couple of things I read. And I even, Victor mentioned to me to share a little bit more about my life and that, because, you know, we can skip over, and I've had some life changes in the last couple of years, and I'll share a little bit about those. But one of the things, if you're new, and thank you guys from coming all the way from Los Osos tonight, and I want to welcome, first of all, Raquel, Kathy, Stephen, Joanne, and Liz, and anyone else that didn't identify that's new. Mario with a year, Kep with 3, and Leonard with 13. Leonard might have not thought, hey, I'm going to take my cake tonight, but Leo's speaking too? I don't know. Maybe I take it next week. But here we go. If you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, this is something I read when I lead a meeting out of town or anything. This is out of step 3 real quick. It says, every man and woman who has joined AA and intends to stick has, without realizing it, made a beginning on step 3. The loving God expresses himself here in this group conscience. I hope I can carry that message tonight. But then on step 9, a lot of us come in with a lot of wreckage. Oh, did I come in with wreckage. And I wish they'd have brought this more to my attention then. It says, most of us begin, and this is step 9, making certain kinds of direct amends from the day we join Alcoholics Anonymous. The moment we tell our families that we are really going to try the program, the process has begun. So we start that amends. So for me, and one other thing I'm going to read, and then I'm going to start with the beginning, middle, and an end. I talked to my sponsor a couple times today. He's been sober 54 years and gave me a couple things that he wanted me to mention. But this is what I get here when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. It never fails. It says we are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. And let's face it, this is a true statement. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. And then I'll read this last one, and then we're going to get to rocking and rolling. And you got to keep up. Once I get going, it's going to go from Sacramento to Santa Maria and back to Sacramento, and I get with it. Okay, so just get me ready. Okay. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. Just an action program. Thank you for everyone that set up and did all the work to get this going. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I don't suffer from alcoholism anymore. I have alcoholism, though. So I take my daily dose of what needs to be done to get through this day sober, but feel reasonably good about it in my own skin. So I'll start off with, I was born in Placerville, California. Grew up in Sacramento, California. I'm the oldest of 5 boys. Ray Leonard Batson Jr. And I was called Leo since I was a kid. If somebody calls on the phone and they say, is this Ray? They don't know me. But I want to get this started here. I brought up a couple of things that mean a lot to me. This was one of my sponsors, Pete, that died sober. This is 5-17-93. He goes, dear Ray Leonard, better known as our beloved Leo, hope you have a great day, wonderful year, and an even greater life, one day at a time. Love and kisses, Pete and Mary. Mary's still alive up in Moore Bay. Pete died sober. He is my sponsor for many years. Victor, I am going to crosstalk a little bit. He was Victor's sponsor at one time. And this little thing I carry around, and many of you, I'm going to throw some names out, which I can do because I'm the one up here. This was from Jenny Vaughn. This is the AA Way of Life, a reader by Bill. We call it As Bill Sees It. And this is very important to my sobriety. I read something. Jenny Vaughn, October 29th, 1973. I read a page out of this every day. The people that came before me, I honored them. And many of them, I thought of them today, some of my sponsors from the past, Smokey and Pete and Hank and Barry. But let me get back to the beginning. I'm born in Sacramento, California. I'm the oldest of the five. We started out, my dad was 20 years old. My mom was 16 when they were, you know, back then they got married early. My grandmother was married and had a child at 15. And my father got one of his first jobs was at the railroad. And I actually have pictures where we lived in a railroad car. Now, hey, there's some of the old pictures. We were happy as a bug in a rug. You know, we lived there a year or two. And then Kelly came along. I have a brother that's 13 months younger than me. He lives in Paso Robles at this time. The alcoholism skipped me. Then there was Brian. Brian died sober at 16 years sober in 2010. So Brian, he had 16 years sober. And, you know, I don't want to blame anything, but didn't take care of himself health-wise and diabetes and sometimes wouldn't take the medication and things. So I'm a firm believer in, hey, we learn here, sponsorship has changed over the years. We get into talking about different things, health and even finances and things. Then Kenny, some people know my brother Ken in Lompoc. They call him Brother Ken, but he's actually my brother. So he's sober. He's sober 33 years. I love Ken. I wish he was here. My dad used to say, I worry about your brother. I said, I'm afraid he's going to end up there on the road with a white robe on. As a Mooney or something. They used to call them the Moonies. Because he can do something like, he could entertain this whole crowd. He might come over to Kep like this and say, heal this man now! And I mean, it's the way he says it. It's like everybody listen. I mean, he would, he'd just come off the wall. So Kenny's still sober, still alive. Keith, the fifth boy. And this is where it says on our going back and making our amends, there's some regrets. You know, Keith died at 36 years old. I was his big brother, and he came to me like there in Sacramento, I could get things that other people couldn't get. So, you know, he thought his big brother was it, right? Well, he at one time got sober for about a year, but he died of alcoholism, got toxic from too much drinking and drugs, 36. Gone. So if you're new here, you got a year at one time. And then there's Lisa, five older brothers. The guy that married her, I can't believe it. I remember Keith, the first couple guys that would come around, I mean, he ran them off. I think one time he put a guy in the trash can and rolled him down the street. But another story. So I grew up in Sacramento. I got in the fast lane. Here's where you got to keep up. I'm still in Sacramento, guys. Okay, I'm there. I have my role models. I have an uncle that sells drugs. I have a cousin that's married to a Hell's Angel that owns a bar in North Sac and has all these. These were kind of like, these people seem to always be a lot of action. So I started getting in on some of this action. And I don't usually bring up other substances. But tonight, this is my story. So I got back in there. They used to bring these things over from Mexico, these pallets of marijuana. And they'd come on bricks. They were actually bricks. And then they started bringing over these barrels of, they called them Secanol, which Fender Benders Reds. And then they'd bring over this stuff, big barrels of this stuff called, we called them cross-top swipes, but Benzedrine, okay? And man, you know, that was my cousin, my uncle. So I got pretty heavy into that stuff and was taking that and smoking and doing all that. And then here's where you got to keep up. I'm 18 years old, 18 and a half. My parents made a geographic. My dad transferred from Red Star to Lompoc, brought us over here. No, it was to Santa Maria, I'm sorry, to Santa Maria. And I came over and I was taking these Benzedrinas, taking these Reds, and came over here to Santa Maria, cleaned it up a little bit, and this is where you got it. This is where we're going to go fast, because I want to close right at 8. So I'm over here. I'm 19 years old, and I've left Sacramento. I'm over here cleaning up. See? And then I get a call. Well, I was, you know, I grew up in Catholicism with the thing, and, you know, and all of a sudden I found out I'm a dad. I go, oh, I got to do the right thing. Holy moly. And so I talked to my son today, Toby. It's Brent Foster, but I went back, got married. He was 13 months old, so I looked out there, be like looking out there, and there's Jerry. You know, he's sitting right there with his little suit on. So I get married, 13 months, and I'm a young. I start drinking then, more into drinking. And this is where I bring up a lot. My grandmother would call myself, my two cousins, Johnny, Ray, and David. She called, borrachos, loco en la cabeza. And you guys don't know Spanish. If you don't know borrachos, that's drunk. Loco en la cabeza, meaning here, crazy in the head. Okay, so I was drinking heavily, and I got a job. I was working at, believe it or not, I went to McDonald's. I was the manager there. They sent me off to Hamburger High School. I'm not kidding you. They teach you how to do all this stuff, and so I have a job there, and I had a tie, and just a couple of the drinking escapades. I can remember my two cousins. Here, I got a job. I'm married. We bought a house. The wife got a job at the state. I remember 3-bedroom, 1-bath. I remember when the house payment went up, I said, hey, the house payment went up from $86 to $98. Holy man. But I remember they talked me into things like, Leo, do you know if we fill your car up with gas, okay, this would be Laura and Erica telling me, Leo, if we fill up your car with gas, there's more we can spend on drinking. And I said, well, how do we do that? And they said, well, this is how you do it. I'm a little dumb as a box of rocks. They say you cut a little piece of hose, and we go up to these trucks, and you just go like this. You stick it in there, and the gas comes out, and the cans fill up. I'm thinking, okay. So they talked me into doing that. One time I came into work the next day, and they go, you smell like gas. I go, oh, I don't wonder how that happened. And then another time they get me out, just a couple of the drunk logs. Because one time, you know, I had a guy say, you can get right into talking program and all that, and they don't know anything about you. So I'm living in Sacramento, my two cousins, and this is where my first wife, she was a wonderful person. Just, she was great. But I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a pretty much a drug addict. But I mainly got into alcohol. So they talked me in one night. We go out drinking, and this is a true story. We're drinking tequila, and this would be like I'm here with Glenn and Bob, okay? And I guess I lost my balance, and I fell into the gravel. And I got up, and I said, well, how do I look? And they go, oh, you're fine. Well, I had little rocks embedded in all over my forehead and everything. I get home, I always remember this. It's just like yesterday. I woke up the wife, I said, man, I looked like somebody had paved a road over my face. Well, they took me to the hospital, and I remember that nurse, I think she did it on purpose. She scrubbed all that stuff out. And I looked like a damn mummy. And I showed up for work the next day. I wasn't going to miss work. I remember walking in, they go, what happened to you? Oh, I don't know why. I don't even, to this day, don't know what lie I told. But so my alcoholism was progressing at a high rate. And so I hadn't been really getting arrested, just small little things like, you know, they talked me into doing things. One time I was arrested for stealing a ladder. The ladder was sticking out of both sides. They pulled over, Leo, wait, we got to get something. I mean, I'm out with my borracho cousins. And I get a red, they follow me home, so I'm arrested for stealing a ladder. I mean, I would get these things. Why did I do that? So here's where we speed up. I say, I got to get away from Sacramento. Those guys like Kep and Terry, these guys are bringing me down. So I was working at a supermarket by then, Lennox Supermarket. So back then, you know how we have Vaughn's now? It was Williams Brothers. So I got a job at Williams Brothers Market. I came over and they were touting me to be manager and all this. This is back in the day. There, you know, there was actually the Williams, you know, and that. And I remember I came over got a job in 77, but I brought my alcoholism with me. Number 5 was on Donovan. And they even let me rent a house. Well, they own a house on Central. But I'm an alcoholic, right? And I tell this story. This is where I got over here, and I go, over there, if I got pulled over for drinking or something, I'd say, they didn't want to arrest you for drunk driving. They had bigger, there's burglaries and murders and all kinds of stuff. And they'd go, do you have anybody you can call? I'd say, I can call my cousin Christy. My cousin Christy will let me. And I'd call cousin Christy. And then I'd owe her, though. She'd say, man, you're going to make it up to me. And she'd tell him, he can come over here, or I'll come and pick him up. Or just stay right there. Don't take the car. Because they, you know, and leave me alone. Okay? So I probably had 3-4 times. I come over to Santa Maria, and I'm coming from Sacramento. It's a fast-paced thing's going on. I get over here, and I feel like I just got on a cow or something. This is in, I go, man, from Orchid to here, the big thing was going to Jack in the Box. There was nothing. So I get this job at Williams Brothers. I'm going to be a manager. You know, they say, hey, you got it going on. Well, I picked up my first DUI. They arrested me. I was out. They pulled me over and said, you've been drinking? Oh, I think I had a couple. They actually arrested me. And I remember I went to court. This is, you want to talk about, we talk about smartphones and this. They had a smart program then. I go before the judge and they go, you've been arrested for, they called it 502. If you go to this program, it goes off your record. Like getting a ticket now. You get a ticket and you go to traffic school. And I go, Your Honor, do I have to go? And he goes, oh, you don't have to go, but it'll go on your record and your insurance will go up. And I go, smart. That's okay. Smart Leo, right? The next DUI, though, I have to tell you that. I'm going to fast forward. My drinking had become so bad. I had a manager, I always remember, Bob Daddy, and he said, Leo, people, you know, they take an hour for lunch. I want you to take a half hour. I said, okay. Cindy, you get a half hour for lunch. No more hours. Because I think you're hanging out with Arlene and Letty and something. 1 half hour. So all I did, because what do you think I did during that hour? I drank and I'd come back and they'd always be asking, how much are the tomatoes? How much is this? I was the type that they'd say, Leo, go fill the milk bottle. Okay. Yeah. Open up a Mai Tai, snort the air out of the whipped cream. They go. I mean, I'm sure they go. They bring back these cases of whipped. What happened to all the whipped cream? Well, I don't even want to go into that. I don't want to give people any ideas. And they go, Leo, check please. And I go up there. And then finally, they had enough of me. And what they did with you back then is they put you on night. You go to night. That's basically all the screw-ups. Night crew. Nobody can see you and all that. Well, a guy got there. I said, hey, I like this night crew, man. Everybody's kind of like me. The guys like Glenn. I mean, hey, we work. We get through it. Drink. Well, it got so bad that, you know, even on night crew, I'd get thirsty. And I had the bakery aisle. I had the bakery aisle where they had this Aunt Jemima pancake mix, 20-pounders. Nobody'd ever buy it. I go, why do we, you know, all the other stuff would go fast. So if I got thirsty and you got to make sure you can't be just walking around drinking. I mean, you know, I got thirsty. And I throw the little things behind there. And they came in one day and did a revamp of the aisle. And this is, when you go over to number 1, that's Main Street. You got to go up the stairs. I say, wanted to see, and I go up there and they got all the guys there. Gokenheimer and Highland, these the bosses. And they called me and they had this bag of all these empty Mai Tai, all these little cans. You know how they used to have the little cans? Not that. And they go, these were found in your section. I had to think fast. You know, we think fast. I'm like dancing. I go, I always had a suspicion that some of the customers, when they come in and are shopping, yeah. And they looked at me like, well, we thought you had something to do with that. Me? Oh. It did come to find out that they would be up in the windows watching people. And some of the people you think had never taken anything. Like, hey, somebody that looks really cool, you know, like Billy. He might go down and Yeah, that Billy, hey, how you doing? Well, Billy walked down, take a bottle of aspirin, bottle of this. We said, hey, you know, so they knew some of it was going on, but finally they were able to get rid of me, guys. You know, the second DUI, I'll speed up. 78, Thanksgiving Day, out at my parents' house, Roxy Avenue, right by St. Louis de Montfort Church. My brother Kelly, who's I talk to every day, he's over there. All my brothers, I drank about a fifth of booze. We get in a fist fight. Start fighting. My dad says, you gotta go. I said, okay. He used to tell me that when I was a kid, when you get a spanking, they always say, hey, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. You know, that's really a kind of a crock, because maybe emotionally, but it did kind of hurt. But so I leave. I say, man, I got to sober up. I'm really drunk. So I by this time, I remember, oh, it would be like being a checker. And one day this girl comes through and I go, oh, I wish I could meet somebody like you. And she had this number. Here's my cousin. And I was living with this girl, I don't know, you know, over. And I remember going over there and I needed to sober up. And I don't condone this behavior. This is a true story. This is Thanksgiving Day, 1978. And I took some amphetamines to sober up. I was just, you know. And I went over to get some more alcohol, I said. And I got pulled over. They arrested me at 2 o'clock. Drunk driving. Second one. So I go in there, and then it's about 2:30, quarter to three. I go, let me out of here. I'm not intoxicated or anything. The guy kept looking. He says, man, you were, hey, well, all those things came out. So they kept me 4 hours, and they let me out at six. But see, I'm an alcoholic, guys. What did I do? I started drinking. Yeah. So the next time I went to court, smart Leo, right? I go before the judge on the second DUI. Two drunk drivings, had to go to the smart program because I'm smart, right? So still there. And then finally, this is the fast pace. So they finally get rid of me. And at the end of my drinking, I remember I was actually, my parents would let me, I was a derelict by this time. I'd lost that job at Williams Brothers. I was living to drink. I was out in my parents' garage. You know, back then people would always let you live in the garage. You know, so I'm living in the garage, and then one day they came and said, Leo, you can't stay in the garage anymore. Terry, I've got to tell you, you're old enough, you got to go, buddy. You're just drinking all day. So I had a buddy, Russ, that I knew from Williams Brothers that used to work on night crew, and he was still there. So I went out, and I started in the house. I had a room. I was living with Russ and Mona. And pretty soon, they said, Leo, would you mind just living in the garage? So I didn't care. My highlight of my day was Ranchero at 6 and the Playroom Bar at 9. 9 to 10 at the Playroom Bar on Main Street. This, I had to get there. Like the way I like to get to my morning meetings, 9 a.m. 15-cent beers from 9 to 10. 15 cents. And you'd get there. And man, we'd be waiting. Sometimes they'd not open till 9:05. And I mean, most of us were big spenders, right? You know, but, and then at 10:03, you could get a beer and three cups. So you get four beers. And that's when I really started hearing about Alcoholics Anonymous. There was a lady working there, Nancy, and she'd go, you guys ought to go to AA. I said, what the hell? I mean, we're big tippers, aren't we? But I guess she was sober. And she would pull this on us. Sometimes she'd wait till it'd be like 10:03. She wouldn't even tell us. So then the beers went up to 50 cents, Glenn. 50 cents a beer. So, but the long story short, that's how my drinking came. And then it came to this. And I'm going to tell this story just to let you know how sick it was. I had a couple of guys I hung out with, and we'd go to the Playroom Bar and drink. And I'm living in the garage on Ben Wiley out there. And I paid a little bit. We were going to barbecue over at Waller Park.
I love these.
Yeah, we're going to barbecue. I'm driving. I had an old blue Volkswagen. This is a true one, man, this car. And that, look at, some people ask me, is that the truth? Because I've shared before where I told a guy how I lost my license, and I said from the cloud, somebody said, because you are a multiple drunk driver. And he said, was that true? And I said, no, that was not true. But this is true. I had this Volkswagen, this old blue Volkswagen in 1972. And it was, if you opened the doors, it was like a little, it smelled and everything. Well, the people I hung out with really didn't give a, you know, what it smelled like. But I had this guy that had a dog. I mean, this is a, you know, pretty cool dog. And he'd come up like this. I can always remember the time he said, come on, he'd come up like this. And it wouldn't get in. God was smarter than that. I go, oh my gosh. You know, it was bad. I mean, so this Volkswagen, this is how sick I was. I remember one time I had gotten a flat tire the day before, and we had to be at the playroom bar the next morning, and my tire flew off. And we're close. We're close to the playroom. And I said, well, let's leave it. So get back and tow it away. But this car, so I got to get off the drug log. So this is my, where I hung out. This is what I did. These are the people I hung with. So we're going to barbecue. I said, well, let's stop at Circle K. I want to get some stuff too. And Circle K was right by Waller Park. And this is, these guys, I still, they're not like my road dogs, like people in here. So like Gus and some of you that, so let's just play a little game. Gus is my road dog. Yeah. We didn't, no girls would hang out with us.
Oh, man.
And who else we got? Roberto. Roberto did good. So we get there to Circle K, and they said I did it calmly. I went over and I got two packs of 8-pack hot dogs. And they said I put them in my back pocket like this. They fit right in. And they said, I went up to the counter. I mean, these are really good buddies, right? I go up to the counter and they go, are you going to pay for those? I guess I wasn't too like over there, you know, I was just like right in front of them, I guess. And they, I go, they said, this is what you said, Leo. No, not at this time. I said, no, not at this time. I mean, that's real smart. So I get out and there's a license number. They just write it down. You know, I was probably easy to identify. And, you know, I had, hey, I was kind of a light yellow color, about 200 some pounds. Just, you know, I was bloated. I looked like a balloon ready to fly off somewhere. Well, so I get this thing and it says to go to court for petty theft. I go, oh my gosh. So I go to court, and man, you don't want to be going in there and saying, what are you in for? What are you in here? Two packs of wieners? No. No. So here's what happens. I go before the judge. Let's speed it up because I got to get to where it happened in my life now. So I go before the judge, and he goes, we have a petty theft with a prior. I said, prior? I have never had a prior. And they dug up that, I guess, that ladder. And so they said, 90 days, June 25th, 1982, come here. Follow, June 25th, 1982. Turn myself in, 8 o'clock, to do jail time. I go out to see my brother Ken out in Orchid. That day started, probably the day that really got me here. I remember, Russ couldn't even tell me. Mona came and said, hey, when you get out of jail, because I thought I'd be out 60 days and go back to the garage, right? Hey, I had a good little cot out there and stuff. So they didn't want me to come back. So I put all my stuff in the car, went out to Ken's out in Orchid, old Orchid. He's going to take me to jail at 8, and I tried not to drink this day. Can't drink. I got to go to jail. I got to be there at 8 o'clock. And I remember about 5:30, I just started jonesing a little bit. And I said, well, just have a little drink before we go. So I had a little drink, and, you know, I had all my clothes in the car, and I was going to leave my car there, take me, Ken. So it gets to be about this time, and I said, Ken, I'll drive. And I get about 3 blocks, and they pull me over, the sheriff, and I know, I think they were waiting for me, and they go, and they said, have you been drinking? I said, officer. Earlier today, I think I had a couple earlier, because I have to be to jail at 8 o'clock. And it's a long story short, I got a drunk driving on my way to jail. So I'm in jail with the drunk driving, the hot dog thievery, and they used to come into the jail. Guys that did H&I, maybe Victor, where's Victor? Anybody that's done H&I, anybody. They'd come into these meetings, and even there, and they'd say, you ought to go to that meeting. These are the guys in jail. Because, you know, they talk about lops and all this. And I didn't, but it was, I saw that they came in. So when I got out September 15th, 1982, that was my father's birthday. I get out of jail, I detoxed. First thing I did was drink. Second thing I did was drink. The 16th, I came in the program September 17th, 1982. They were reading out of this book. Sharon, I met Smokey, I met Floyd, I met Jim and his wife Lou. No, Lou and his, Jim and Lou. And they welcomed me and I started the journey. I didn't have a driver's license. I was on a bicycle, guys. I started out living at Ken in his garage out in Orchid. Always getting those garages. Then I moved down the street. This is, they used to have a Grayson Hotel down the street here and a post office. So I started the journey. I was able to move into the Grayson Hotel. It was $25 a week. And it was no drinking in that. There was kind of, and then I remember I got an upgrade to $30 a week where you had your own restroom, and I shared it at a meeting. And, you know, and the journey started. And I can remember I'd get odd jobs. I got a job at, I remember Grand Auto. It's a lot of Spanish speaking, but I got through it. I worked at Kyle Roofing, and I got out of the roofing business. I fell off the roof twice. One time I bumped my head, fell off the roof. So I wasn't a real good roofer. And then one day I'm sitting here, and they said, I got a job on the offshore oil rig. I was sitting here at 2 o'clock. This guy calls up, hey, has anybody got to go on the offshore oil rig out of Hondo? I was just basically a high-paid dishwasher, but they paid really good money. It was 40 hours regular, 40 hours time and a half, 4 hours overtime. I was sitting here. So when they tell you you can't get a job sitting in a mono club, that's not me. It happened. God answered my prayer. So I worked out there about 2.5-3 years. I was able to pay off debts. I was able to, on my week off, I would do odd jobs. I'd do painting and stuff. I think I was the world's worst painter. But people in the program would hire me because they knew I was getting my life together. We'll help people that are trying. So I stayed out there that amount of time. And then I jumpstart to, took a job actually running a halfway house. That was kind of it's 60 Good House. And I always remember, I took that, started with 3 beds, 6 beds, 9 beds, 12 beds, went up to 14 beds, and then it was full. And one of the guys that had gotten, went before the judge and he came out, he took over as I left. My job was done. They didn't want to go to, they probably could have went to 8-10 houses. It's full on a waiting list. And I'd go before the judges, and you got to watch, then I knew all the judges and the probation and the parole and, you know, I knew Beck and, you know, you name them all. I knew them all. I knew them up in San Luis. So I left that, and I have to speed up because I got to tell you what's happened recently, the last couple of years. So I took a job. I worked for community health centers. Took a job there. I worked at the homeless health care. I'd go over. I started with the homeless, working homeless youth program, AIDS program. And I remember taking in a gal when we do the AIDS test. I had we'd do a pre and post test, show a video, and she was HIV positive. And they, as soon as she started talking, they listened. And I did that. And then they get, you know, I moved up the ladder and became an administrator and homeless healthcare project coordinator and had an office in San Luis and had 16 people working supposedly under me. You know, some of them I'd hire from, they'd do their internship on those human services programs and I'd hire them case managers. They were good. And some would volunteer and then they couldn't do it. Be like, this wasn't their job. So I stayed there until, it's about 10 years. And then it was time to go, guys. And at this time, let me speed up. That first marriage was ended in a divorce. It kind of, you know, it was an okay divorce. I have two children, Toby and Stacy. During our separation, at one time, Stacy came along. So I have Toby, Stacy. Toby has two. Louie and Sophie, and then my daughter, Stacy, has 4, and 3 are mixed. I love those grandkids, so I have 6 grandkids, 2 kids. That's what you wanted to hear too, right, Victor? A little bit about my life. Okay. So I met this gal when I was at community health centers. Paige, I'm an administrator, she's a nurse. We were together, because I don't share this too much, I loved talking to her, you know, I was, so we started dating and all that, and then we moved in together, and we're married in 1996. And, you know, acquired a lot of material things. You know, I came in, look at, I was riding a bicycle, penny and nickel, I learned, you know, we helped each other, we did a lot of things, and spent 21 years of marriage, 23, and then January of 17, this is the thing my sponsor wanted me to share with you, is how we get through things in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had health care. Let's jump to this. This was given to me February 6, 2016. I went in for a thing, procedure, and my heart was running too low because they thought, oh, you're healthy because, you know, you got a slow beat and your weight's down and everything. But shit, I was about dead. They didn't even know it. But so... this lady came by, gives me this St. Francis of Assisi prayer. So they tried to do the medication, didn't work. So now I got a defibrillator pacemaker, Robert. Hoo-hoo, Victor, hee-hee. And I can remember, and let me get back. So I went through that. That was a big deal. Then I went through the hernia thing. But January of 17, and I only share this because people... I dig deeper into Alcoholics Anonymous and it changed. So January of 2017, out of the blue, the wife says she doesn't want to be married anymore. And we had been into Washington, D.C. in October of 16, a big thing, you know, been to Jamaica, done a lot of great things. And it, even like Victor asked me the other day how Paige was, and I said, hey, Victor went through a divorce. But first thing I did is I called my sponsor. I said, Rick... So, you know, I tried to see if she wanted to go to counseling, the different things. And by this time, we have a big two-story house, four-bedroom, four-bath, deck, patio. So I stayed downstairs. She was upstairs. Split the sheets, but I was the down. And then it starts that thing about agreement. So went through the divorce where we agreed on everything. And it took time because she had a retirement. We had money. So, hey. So January of this year, 18, I filed for divorce, went through that. So you can go through divorce. I'm happy, joyous, and free. It didn't change anything that I do. Even the guys that I sponsor that are married, my sponsor said, you need to tell the guys that are married that you went through this marital change. He terms it different, marital change. You know, we always say that. So I went through the marital change, went through the heart surgery. And I tell you guys, it's easy to say and be and stay active in Alcoholics Anonymous and do all this when you think everything is just peachy king. Because change is going to come your way, guys. It's going to come your way. I've seen people get through loss of children, of spouses, of parents. I suit up and show up every day. I plan on being at a meeting tomorrow at 7 to start my day. Tonight, I participate when asked. I participate, I share with you. I know I went into a lot of the Drunkalog because we have a lot of new people here. And I want them to know that if you do the work, I believe in doing the work with our big book, our 12 and 12, we have daily literature we can read. And you learn how to do this. You work your steps, work your traditions, and then you help someone else. It's like pulling the rope. So brings me to today. Through all those negotiations, it came out without any resentment, without any that. And I tell you what, in the business I'm in outside sales, and I know a lot of attorneys in two counties. So, you know, the word that they always use, guys, is, are we in agreement? Are we in agreement? So we were able to get in agreement. So that's over. I'm single, and even the one thing even going... Well, I got to tell you, here's the thing. And then I got some outside help with this counselor as I went through this. I had three free ones with the county, and then I would go see her every 2 weeks in Lompoc. And we went through this, and then she said, have you told your children yet? And I kept, because she was pinning me down. I didn't want to tell them. You know, because I told my son, and he's the financial guy. He works at Folsom Prison, and I was telling some of the guys, you know, he does the pre-release and all that. First 5 years in the program, he wouldn't speak to me. Now we're close. We talk almost every day. And that therapist, I remember last time, have you told your kids yet? I don't know. I knew it'd be a long talk. So I talked, I told my son, and, you know, I explained everything to him. And then when I told my daughter, God, she got kind of pissed. She goes, man, you helped her out a lot, Dad. You did all that. I thought you'd be together forever. And, you know, hey, things change. They can change in a heartbeat. So this is what I do, and I'm in outside sales. I go all over. I'll be in San Luis Obispo tomorrow, San Luis Tuesday. I go to a lot of different businesses. I see people, and a lot of times they will ask me, how come you're so happy? I didn't talk a lot about the steps tonight, guys. 1 through 3, get right with God. 4 through 7, get right with yourself. 8 and 9, other people. 10, 11, and 12, daily maintenance. How's that? But, and so, hey, pretty quick. And we're going to pray. 2 more minutes and then we close. Follow the last 2 minutes. So as I go to places, I try to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm happy, joyous, and free. I do. Sometimes I bring them a little pound cake from Gina's. Everywhere I go, I know all about them. I can tell you, Gina owns Gina's piece of cake. Her husband's a law enforcement in Lompoc. Her dad, Lloyd. Her mom, Barbara, who works there. Wherever I go, I've learned it in Alcoholics Anonymous. I ask open-ended questions, and I care about people. Somebody I'm seeing tomorrow, Karen Scott Audiology. Fred's been out for 4 weeks with back surgery. I meet with him tomorrow. I go, I get to know how people are doing. And yes, I extract, you know, they pay. Credit cards, checks, that, you know, but I'm very honest in the business I'm in. I do not stretch the envelope, guys. I tell the truth. And I've had to learn more about digital stuff. When I first started here, man, I had a flip phone. Now it's smartphone, emails, download this, send this. Hey, we are pretty smart people, guys. We can do it. And when I tell you that, on anything you go through, I know this is a lot of drunkalog, but anything you go through, you have a guidebook here. And I'm going to close with this. I do believe in sponsorship because there's something about, it tells us in our 12 and 12. It's the chain. Having a sponsor. If I didn't have a sponsor through all the different things that I've went through in my life, I wouldn't be here today. They've guided me. And if I need outside, I went through that. I remember when I gave that lady, the counselor, a hug. I said, thank you for helping me through this. I really appreciate that. And that was it. So now I move on. And I share this tonight because it's time to, because people will say, no one ever shares what they go through. I mean, how do you get through it? How did you battle through this cancer? How did you battle through this? And, you know, it's like tonight when I drive back with Kep, we'll talk about some things, and then tomorrow we start another day. But I want to thank you all for being here, and especially the new people. Just give it a chance. I would recommend getting a sponsor, like I said. And you know, this book, if you start reading it, I had some spiritual experiences when I was up at the Grayson Hotel. I started reading this thing, and I know God, and that didn't speak to me, but I felt the presence. So that's it, guys.
Another hand, huh?